Okay, good evening. I'm not here alone. My wife is here somewhere. But and so, yeah, anyway, it's lovely to be here. There's Christine. So, yeah, it's great for us to be here. I actually haven't been, we were here a few weeks ago when Ewan is here, but besides for that, we don't often make it, yeah, but it is really just great to see a lot of old faces. And then, obviously, there's just always so many new faces, so it's just always a joy just to come and meet everyone again. So, the elders asked me this week just to come, and you guys are busy talking into gifts of the Holy Spirit, and just asked me to come in and also just talk into it and add to some of the things that you guys are speaking about. And I actually want to... maybe start off this evening by I don't know how many of you have been saved for more than 30 years? Very few hands. Okay, a couple of those hands would have witnessed something called the Toronto Blessing back in the early 90s. Do you remember that? And it was just a move of God that came through just churches all over the world. And a lot of our meetings got turned upside down. And as the power of the Holy Spirit came through, and, you know, there was a lot of controversy about it as well. But certainly what happened is normal church meetings were suddenly different. People were speaking in tongues and... You know, like there was certain what we call phenomena that we saw in those days that we don't actually often see these days. People would just like fall on the ground and just start laughing or, you know, as the Holy Spirit sort of just was so powerful in many meetings. I think there was eventually a lot of flesh involved as well, but for a good part of it, though, there was a lot of good stuff that happened. My mom, in fact, used to get... almost like drunk in the Holy Spirit. She used to like not be able to stand, and she's with us in the AM meeting, and I mean, the Lord still touches her like that quite often. Sometimes I have to just go, Mom, let me just help you to the seat here, and just take a seat, you know. And in those days also, if we prayed for anyone, you know, I wasn't praying for many people, I was still a youngster, but when people were prayed for, it was almost expected that they'd fall over, because just that's what the Spirit is doing. And anyway, so I've experienced that. But then I've also experienced meetings, church meetings, where things are very, what we would call, dry. And there's like nothing happening. And so we gathered in the name of the Lord, and we're there to honor Him, but almost nothing's happening. Everything's very predictable. It's by the clock. There's no spontaneous songs, nothing like that happening. It's like we sing the set amount of songs that preaches exactly the certain, you know, length of time. And it can be very, very dry. And so I'm really wanting to speak tonight about making room for the Lord to move in our meetings. So do you know that song, I Will Make Room for You? I think we often sing it. And I think there's something really real about that, in that we do need to make room for the Lord. If He's living, if He's active, if by His Spirit He's alive, we need to make room for Him. And if we don't make room for Him, we could be in danger of quenching the Spirit. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. I did preach this about 2 weeks ago in Warmer AM, so if any of you are there, some of it will be the same. But the Bible says, do not quench the Spirit. And I just think this is a very, very important phrase. What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is often pictured as fire. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit came upon the early church with tongues of fire. And there are other scriptures that just point to, you know, God's presence coming as fire. And so Paul is kind of saying, don't put out the flame of the Spirit among you. And so we certainly need the flame of the Spirit. We need the Spirit to be alive among us. Otherwise, our meetings will tend towards deadness again. It'll tend towards like us controlling it, us setting like the agenda. And I mean, as someone once said, like we do need to plan really well. For our meetings, for our community meetings, so these meetings, there needs to be a plan in place. So we knew earlier this week that I would come and preach here. So there was a plan in place, but there has to be room for the Spirit of God to actually interject and go, okay, tonight, Vince, you're not going to be preaching. We're going to be doing something else. And there have to be moments like that. So is it possible? Is it possible to quench the Spirit, to make the Spirit like that candle? Well, ultimately, no. You know, the Holy Spirit is alive and powerful, and there's nothing that we can really do. He's alive. We can't kill him, in a sense. But what Scripture does say is that we can resist the Spirit, and we can grieve the Spirit and his work in our lives. We can sort of stifle him out from being active in our lives. And so this word quench, you know, so the Scripture speaks about, like I said, he speaks about resisting the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, but then this word quench is also an important word. And when I looked it up, there was one other place that it was used, I think, quite powerfully. And it was in the parable of the foolish virgins. And when they carried lamps, and then there were the wise virgins who carried lamps full of oil, and their lamps could keep burning. But the foolish virgins allowed their lamps to run out of oil, and in a sense, the flame was quenched. That's exactly the same Greek word used there, as do not quench the Holy Spirit. And so the issue wasn't that they didn't have lamps. They had lamps. And so for me, this kind of maybe speaks about, how would that be translated today? Well, they were probably church people. They were people who were in com meetings and were in church life, but they didn't have an ongoing supply of oil. They had neglected the supply of oil. They ran out of oil. And so spiritual neglect in our own lives could also be something that quenches the Holy Spirit. Something that if we allow a flame of the Spirit that should be burning, if we allow it to burn out, to run out, in a sense, if we allow it to die, well, then we could be guilty of quenching the Spirit. And I do think that this is probably something that happens more often than what we realize in our own lives, in the lives around us, in churches, or all over the show. So, you know, neglect, not making space for the Lord to move. I think suppressing spiritual gifts. So the full verse actually says, don't quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. So it's linked, quenching the Spirit is also linked to when maybe people are afraid of these gifts and block them. If we're blocking spiritual gifts from coming through, maybe because of fear, or we don't want to be uncomfortable, well, that could be quenching the Holy Spirit. And then another thing is maybe being afraid to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our meetings, maybe trying to control him. That could also lead to quenching the Spirit. And in fact, the Scriptures say that the wind blowing, and it's talking about the Spirit here, it says the wind blows wherever it wishes. You do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. And so there's something about the Holy Spirit in that we can't control where he wishes to blow in a certain meeting or in a certain time or space. We can invite him. I know that he's here whenever we meet, but we can't control him. And so that's just very, very important. So the title for tonight is, what should a church meeting look like if we don't quench the Spirit? And Andrew Selly did do a preach very similar to this about a month ago. So if any of you listened to that, you'd probably see some of the same scriptures in it. But let's just look at the first one from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Let's read it together, yeah. So what then, brothers? When you come together, so that would be either in a meeting like this, or even I want to apply it to your community meetings as well. So when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Okay, so that's why those spiritual gifts are there. All those different things. So there's a number of things to look at from here. But basically, there's a lot of people needed. Lots of different people needed to bring all these different gifts. And then they are all used together collectively to build up the church. Okay, so So look, the Bible talks about lots of different types of spiritual gifts, and I want to really just zone into those few that I mentioned there, over there. So hymn, and we're going to look at each one at a time, the hymns, the lessons, the revelations, tongues, and interpretations, and how do we make room for these gifts in these meetings, especially in our community meetings? So firstly, When you come together, each one has a hymn for building up. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. It says here, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Okay, so actually, I found this translation quite difficult because it says we need to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I don't often see us singing to each other, just, you know, in normal life. But the NLT says, let there be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. For me, that's like an easier way to understand it. That means when we gather together, there should be these kinds of songs coming through. We saw some of them tonight. But in this particular scripture, he actually talks about a couple of different types. So the psalms would be a scripture-based song. So, you know, David, he wrote a lot of the psalms. And in the psalms, there's so much truth about the Lord. And so we're not just singing random things. You know, we're singing truths. And so even for us, when we gather in these types of meetings, it's very important. There's a lot of different popular worship songs that go around the body of Christ. But we do try and choose songs, the songs that are chosen up here, that would reflect the truths of Scripture. We don't just want songs that are like, I don't know, wishy-washy in a sense, you know? And so actually there have been quite often where as elders we've spoken about a new popular song, it comes in and we go, you know, that song seems to be more me-focused. It's not exalting the Lord so much, it's more exalting us. So is that fitting for our meeting where we want to be exalting the Lord? And it's not that that song is wrong, because I think sometimes a song like that could be quite fitting in your quiet time. Could sing that song and the Lord could be ministering to me through that song. But maybe in a corporate setting, we want to be exalting the Lord. And so we often choosing songs that sing about His worthiness, His holiness, that is high and lifted up. And so the truths of Scripture, we're singing them and they're coming and they're anchoring us and they're helping us. Okay, but then it also, you see, it doesn't just talk about psalms, he talks about hymns. And you know, when I grew up, hymns were in a hymn book. And, you know, there would be like 200 and something hymns or whatever in the hymn book, and they never changed. So for 50 years, they'd stay exactly the same. So you could say hymn number 113, and everyone would go, oh, yes, that one, and they'd know exactly what song it is. I do find, though, that these days we are privileged that there's lots and lots of new songs being written all the time, and it keeps things really fresh for us. But what hymn really means, it means to celebrate. That's actually what the root word is. And so we need songs that are going to help us to celebrate God's goodness, His just aspects of His character, His forgiveness, His love, His provision, His strength. So we're exalting the Lord. We're singing about the Lord, a song of praise to the Lord. That's really what biblically what a hymn is. And then he also says, and spiritual songs. And so for me, this is very important. And tonight we had two spiritual songs that came forward. And a spiritual song always seems to lift the meeting. They are unplanned. Sometimes it could be a song that the person knows, and sometimes it's a song that they've received in that moment. It hasn't been planned at all. It's more of a prophetic song, or it's a spontaneous song that's never been sung before. And the Lord gives the person a tune, He gives them the words, they bring it, and it blesses the meeting. So sometimes I've often wondered what visitors think, because they're hearing a song, but no one is singing upstage. And I don't know if they've noticed that. But that's because someone has felt something. They've brought it forward, and it's going to bless the meeting. I mean, generally, someone who uses that gift should be equipped with a good voice to be able to bring it. But scripturally, they don't have to, you know. I did hear from one of our other churches the other day, the guy that is leading the meeting was saying someone brought a spiritual song and it was a hard listen. So I kind of knew what he meant. But when I heard what the song was about, I was like, you know what, I think it is the Lord, you know. But when believers sing together, there is something about that we can be strengthened. Those that are doubting can be reminded of truth. And in a sense, the body can minister to each other as we're singing truths about the Lord. We sing it over each other. For me, this is probably, if we're looking at what a Spirit-filled meeting is all about. For me, this is one of the main ingredients. It's almost, it's very difficult to have a spirit-filled meeting without, you know, just celebration, singing songs to the Lord. For us, I think in Oxygen Life, we value this so much. And for me, I feel when worship is going, when the Spirit is just moving in our worship times, that's sometimes the most tangible times in all of our meeting times. I sense the Lord's presence. So I remember, this morning in Warmer AM, we had an amazing time. Last week, I really had the sense almost like the Lord came over us so powerfully in worship that it felt that after worship time, it felt like there must surely be like some kind of evidence on the ground that the Lord is here. Like it just, like his footprints must be here somewhere, because it felt like just like heaven was here. And so the Holy Spirit kind of almost becomes very tangible in these moments. And I want to really encourage you, you know, if we want to be a church that has full lamps, you know, we must have songs to the Lord, spiritual songs. For those of you who don't, I know it's probably difficult to think, should I bring it? Even in our community meetings, should I bring a song? Well, I think it's going to bless the hearers. It's going to bless those, because it brings us with you into that, into his presence. Prophetic songs, songs filled with scripture. And quenching the Spirit could be limiting this. Only singing organized songs. That could be a form of quenching the Spirit. If he's blowing in that direction that day, and or you're shortening worship, not making space. All of these things, it could be quenching the Spirit. It could be also songs that don't have any scriptural basis. I mean, I remember once there was some guys that I knew, and they were very, very talented. But a lot of their songs were so poetic that honestly, it didn't have any scriptural basis. And there was I could feel we're almost in danger, because sometimes they would put things into the songs that reflected maybe their belief systems rather than what scripture was saying. And so we have to be careful with these things. And then I'd say even in your community meetings, if you don't have worship, it could be a problem. You could be limiting, you could be quenching the Spirit. Okay, so the next one he says, so the first one was hymns. The next one was a lesson. When you come together, each one has a lesson and it's for building up. So the scripture I want to look at is this. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. I think that for me, this is really, really important. And I really believe, okay, you can't almost see it on that screen. You'll have to look here. But if the word of Christ is going to dwell in you richly, where does that come from? Well, I believe that every Christian who has a quiet time that morning could have the word of Christ dwelling in them richly for that day. There's something that you've read, something that you've feasted on, something that the Lord has said to you. And as you bump into other Christians, as you go to your community meeting, whatever it is, you've got something of richness that you could be teaching someone, or even the Bible says, even admonishing someone else. Now, and I was thinking about this, because I was thinking, Lord, how do we do this on a Sunday meeting? On a Sunday meeting, you've generally got someone like myself who's taking up all the airtime teaching us. Well, it is possible during coffee and tea time, you could be encouraging each other with the word that is dwelling within you. I think Katrine, I don't think she's yet tonight, but she's probably one of the best examples of this that I've ever seen. Like whenever you bump into, the word is dwelling in her so richly, it's overflowing. So, you know, we can learn from someone like her. But I do think, as I looked this up, I was thinking, how did the early church meet? Well, they actually mainly seemed to meet in homes. And then they would also meet in the temple and the synagogue, so they'd have corporate and homes. And I do think that their main form of meeting was in homes. And I really want to encourage us, if you're not in a community, you're missing out on probably one of the main ways in which a spiritual meeting can take place. So, because there's more room for more gifts to easily flow in that setting. And so we need these corporate times very, very much. It keeps us in unity and gives us direction. But we certainly need to be meeting together in smaller settings as well. And so, you know, allow that word to dwell up richly in your hearts. Okay, and then I just wanted to touch on this, because he says, if the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, you need to teach one another, but he also uses another word. You need to admonish one another. And admonishing is something that doesn't always happen very easily, because it's, depending on how you're interpreting it. But really what it means to admonish, it can mean to warn, it can mean to instruct, it can mean to correct. But it means to counsel towards right thinking and behavior. And many people need that. Sometimes, this particular word that I'm bringing tonight might not touch you, but it could be in tea time, in coffee time, you're speaking to a friend, and he's got the word of Christ dwelling richly within him. And he might pick up something that you're saying, and actually realizing as you said that thing, your thinking isn't correct. And he brings, or she brings, counsel from God's word that will actually correct your behavior. And that's really, really important. Bible talks about taking thoughts captive. It talks about opinions that are raised up against the knowledge of God, because there's a lot of ignorance about the Lord. And so we need these opinions to be taken captive, these thoughts to be taken captive. And that might not happen through the Sunday preach, but it might happen through you as you allow the word of Christ that's dwelling in you richly to come out. A lot of that's going to take place in discipleship as well. And so discipleship's also part of this. It's part of allowing the Lord to work in us. Okay, so, and not doing these things. If the Lord's given you something and out of fear or whatever, you don't bring it, it could be that you're allowing that candle to go out. You're allowing the Spirit to be quenched. And so if our church is going to have full lamps, full of oil, we need to be willing to do these things, okay? I just jotted down a few thoughts as to what could quenching the Spirit look like. Well, it's not bringing that word, but in your community meetings, there could be a few things. If we're only having, in our community meetings, we're only having one person speak, I believe there's a measure of quenching the Spirit, because he says, teach one another, admonish one another. There needs to be interaction. And so, just watch that. You know, we need to be hearing more voices. And then I've been in community meetings through the years where maybe people are not allowing the richness of God's word to come into the meeting. They're just giving their opinions. And if we're just talking about our opinions rather than the Lord's word is the standard, I think there's a degree in which we're quenching what the Spirit wants to say. Or if we're just talking about how you're doing. I've been in meetings like that, comm meetings as well, where the comm leader's going, so how are you doing? How was your week? How was your week? And the whole community meeting consisted of, how was your week? How was your week? And people giving their answers. And that's not very upbuilding. We need more than that. So I think find another moment to tell each other how you are. But let's allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, and to actually encourage each other. And then he also talks about when you come together, each one has a revelation for building up. So what does this mean? A revelation is really something that the Lord, that something that maybe is hidden that the Lord makes known. And so a revelation could be like something that's prophetic. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 29, he says, now this is in the same passage that's talking about when you come together. He says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what he said. So really what he's saying there, in all of our meetings, prophetic words should be part of it. In our community meetings, we need to be making space for prophetic words to come through. And in these corporate meetings, especially at our gatherings, we get so many words because the Spirit is moving. And so often we'll have 30 words in one meeting. It's very difficult to control. But we won't always be able to bring all the words through. But so Scripture clearly says two or three prophets should speak. And then let the others weigh what he said. And so it's very, very important. These words, and we need training on these things at times. I found it very interesting that my daughter, she's here tonight. Like, I never taught her how to do these things. Suddenly she was just doing it. I saw her coming up front giving a word on the mic. I was like, who taught her to do that? Well, the Holy Spirit teaches you, and maybe she had seen it enough to actually start doing it, but we want to encourage the environment, whereas if you feel something, like I think I've just seen a picture, it can feel like maybe it's just your own thoughts, but sometimes you can just realize this isn't just my own thoughts. There's something on this thought that is encouraging. There's something about this thought that I think, and when you do it enough, you start realizing this is the Holy Spirit speaking. So seeing a picture or a vision, or maybe even a dream. I think in our morning meeting today, no, even Todd tonight had a dream from last night. And maybe we'll release it towards the end. But if I'm having a dream that has any kind of meaning to it, you know, a lot of dreams are just random. But on a Saturday night, and I know that Sunday morning I'm going to be at church, if I've had a dream that has been lingering the whole night that I couldn't get rid of, I'm looking for, Lord, what are you saying through that dream? I actually really like dreams because I know I'm not interfering with it. It's just something that happened. Anyway, so dreams, pictures, visions, words of knowledge. These are important gifts because a word of knowledge, and we actually need them. I particularly feel most times when I preach, I need these gifts to come out. Even tonight, we'll need them to actually be able to minister to one another. Otherwise, what happens is we go, amen, I'm finished the meeting. Everyone gets up and walks out. You know, and so we don't want that. We're actually wanting to interact with what the Lord is saying or doing. And so we need these gifts to come through. And I was just thinking about probably about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, we were still in the school hall, and there was, you know, Luke, we're getting these words of knowledge all the time, but there was one particular meeting, I just remember it being very powerful, where I just kept on getting this, I kept on thinking about, in the Bible, Jesus speaks about, or talks about the pool of Bethesda. So it was this pool where the legend said that there were a whole lot of sick people that were sitting around waiting to be healed. If the angel came and stirred the waters, people would get into the water and be healed. Whether that was true or not, I don't know how that worked. But anyway, I just kept on getting this. And I see Honor sitting at the back. Arden, I don't know if you remember that day you came and confirmed that word. You also said, I'm also just hearing the word Pool of Bethesda. So we went to Brad and said, Brad, this is what I think the Lord is saying. Right now, in the time of worship, I think we need to make a space in the front here, like a pool almost. And anyone who needs healing needs to come and stand in that space. We need to worship around them. And if they come, I think that people are going to be healed. And I remember there was a visitor that came, and he testified afterwards because there was something really wrong with his knee. He couldn't jump at all. And he came, no one knew him, and he just came into that circle and started praising God and started jumping. So it was like this instant healing that happened. That came through a word of knowledge. So, you know, we need these things to allow the Spirit to do His powerful work in our midst. Okay, and so, yeah, when we don't allow people to bring these pictures, or if we are being too intimidated to bring something, that could be quenching the Spirit to some degree in our meetings, which we don't want to do. You know, the Bible says also, it continued to say that when you come together, each one has a tongue and interpretation. I'm going to put those two together because they really do need to go together. And it says it's for building up. So 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, so my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Okay, and so we need the Lord actually to speak just more through this gift. In Warmer AM, we don't often get a public tongue. So I think what this is talking about is a public tongue. I think many of us speak in our own, what we'd call our own prayer language, which is tongues. But it's a more of a private gift. And that type of gift, it's not, I mean, you can speak it, but it's not for the church. It's for me. And so I kind of need to keep my voice down a bit when I'm using that gift. Okay, so, but if there's a public tongue, it should actually come up onto the mic. It should be over all the people so that everyone can hear, but then there needs to be an interpretation. Sometimes it's the same person. will interpret, and sometimes the person who gives the tongue doesn't have the interpretation. We just need to wait, and then we need to wait and see if someone will come up and bring an interpretation so that everyone would know what is being said. And we heard this being done at the gathering recently. And it was a very, very powerful moment. I normally find in times like these that there's a sense of awe that comes into the building. There's a sense of which in which like the Lord is almost literally speaking to us. And like let's listen to this. All of these things that I've mentioned, all of the above, they need to be encouraged to be regularly a part of our meetings, our Sunday meetings, our community meetings, even smaller meetings, even prayer meetings that you're a part of, spiritual songs, lessons, prophetic revelations, tongues and interpretation. This needs to be like a regular part of church life. And so for me then, that means if I'm wanting a spirit-filled meeting, a spirit-filled meeting doesn't necessarily mean everyone needs to be shaking and falling over. A spirit-filled meeting means these things need to be happening. Spiritual songs being sung, people overflowing with the richness of God's word and just giving lessons to each other, teaching and admonishing one another, prophetic revelations, you know, prophetic words coming, words of knowledge, all these things, tongues and interpretation. I mean, when this is happening, that's a spirit-filled meeting. You know, and a little while ago, I was doing like a little study on bees. And one of the things that is just profound for me is that for honey to be made, all the bees are necessary. It's not just one or two that have sort of that gift. And sometimes a church is much more like a beehive than you know, some, yeah, another type of animal that just does everything on its own. you need the hive. I think in the church we need all of us to bring it. Again, in these meetings, not all of us can bring publicly, but in your community, I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I wanna encourage you guys, even in your meetings this Wednesday night, why don't you trust the Lord to have this going? Right, you know, so often community leaders feel they're like sweating. What are we going to do on Wednesday night? And they, you know, let me go and download the preach and I'm going to basically redo the preach to everyone. And, you know, don't do that. You know, steer a discussion rather and open the meeting up for the Spirit to flow. Be ready to change direction. So, yeah. And it probably takes practice and a little bit of being okay with the meeting being a little bit messy. It's not always going to go as smooth as you want it to go. But in saying all of these things, there are one or two cautions that Scripture brings. It does say that meetings need to have a certain amount of orderliness. So when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, I think the Corinthians were like just going for it so much that it was too wild. And so he had to that's why he said like two or three prophets should speak, not like 50. It's just like it's too many. So one of the things he said, a tongue must be interpreted. So in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or three at most, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there's no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. So Paul's just putting in some boundaries there. You know, we can't have like 10 people coming up with a tongue. It's just too much. And people are going to be sitting there not knowing what's going on. So again, I have distinguished. There's the private tongue. There's the public tongue. But with the public one, the interpretation is definitely necessary. And then another thing that he says is that when there is prophecy, the prophecy must be weighed. You know, we need to weigh the prophecy. The Greek word there for weigh is to evaluate, to discern, to judge between the true and the false. To sift, basically. And so, basically, if a prophetic word comes over the mark for everyone, it's not automatically binding on the people until it's been weighed up. And so, mature leaders need to, in that meeting, decide, is this word from the Lord? And most of the time, you know, in our churches, the words are from the Lord. These are people that know the word of God. They've been around for a while. But it needs to be weighed, and we need to like actually evaluate it. And in a corporate meeting like this, it's going to be the elders. If it's happening in your community, well, whoever's in charge should just kind of like weigh it up. And obviously, if there's more than one leader, that's really helpful because you can actually bounce it off each other. Oh, I feel a check in my heart. This doesn't feel, something about that word, it doesn't feel right to me. What do you think? And you can actually weigh it up. And you don't want to put false burdens on people with a word that actually isn't scriptural or there's something about it that's maybe not right. Like, I think something that could easily happen is a word could come. It could sound right, but it's very hard and legalistic. And it's got the wrong flavor to it. So in a sense, the wording could be right, but the whole heart behind it is wrong. And even that, the leader could just correct it right there. And so when does this weighing it up happen? Well, it should happen right there, like in the moment. You'll often see elders will huddle together here in worship time. And it's not just because they're bored in worship and they're just deciding to have a chat. They're trying to direct. And so in that sense, compared to maybe a church where none of the stuff happens, that could look a little bit messy, could look a little bit untidy. But actually, they're trying to hear the Lord, trying to find out what's happening. And then the Bible says, like, again, a few interesting things. It says, if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one. This is putting order in place so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And so this is helping us because it's saying that, you know, a dominating personality, they can't claim and say, I was just overtaken by the Spirit, I had no control, and then maybe hog the whole meeting. They actually can control themselves. They aren't carried away beyond restraint. And they, you know, if someone else is busy giving a word, then they need to pull back a bit and they need to listen so that there's a sense of order. Now, I remember many years ago, I was 16, 17 years old, so it must be about like 35 years ago in my church in Utenag. It was a spirit-filled church, and the pastor's wife was busy bringing a prophetic like encouragement over the church, and in mid-sentence, a guy in the front row just started speaking in tongues on the top of his voice, and he went on for quite a long time, and like the lady on the mic just, you know, quietened down, and the pastor just waited, and as soon as the guy stopped and he gave his interpretation, the pastor just said, please ignore that word. I don't believe it was from God, and carried on the meeting. And afterwards, I could just check. You could check the awkwardness in the building. But it was that guy's fault. He was totally out of line in doing it. And I heard him and the pastor having a nice conversation afterwards. But basically, if you've got a prophetic gift, It still needs to be submitted. You can't just because you're feeling something doesn't mean that you can come and walk up onto the stage during my preach, take the mic from me and say, I feel this prophetic word. You can't do things like that. You actually have to go to like the leader of the meeting, hey, this is what I'm sensing. And the leader could go, you know what, thank you for that, but I don't feel that's what we're going to do right now. And you kind of have to be okay with that. So there are these times, but we also want to encourage guys to come forward. So take the risk, but be okay with the leaders deciding whether, because it's very often what happens, there's a number of words that come through and they actually are correct. They're right, but there's no place for them to come over the public mic. Like at a gathering, if we were to honestly release 30 to 40 words, it would spoil the entire time of worship. So sometimes we just have to go, it kind of just confirms where we're going. And it's great. Okay, so overall, to sum up, a healthy church, a church that's not going to quench the Holy Spirit, that makes space for Him, in that church, the Spirit will speak. And the Spirit will speak through spiritual songs, through lessons being filled richly with God's Word, through the through revelations. You know, it's going to be words of knowledge, it's going to be pictures, prophetic words, through tongues and interpretation. These things are normal and they need to be in our meetings. We need to allow these things to happen without quenching the Spirit, but in a sense of order, submitted to whoever's in charge. And then if they're prophetic messages, they have to be weighed. They have to be weighed. And I just want to end off. There's a last image that I want to show you about the Okavango Delta in the Kalahari Desert. I don't know if any of you know about this place. I think many of you, if you watched wildlife shows, you'd know about it. But this is actually outside of the rainy season, one of the driest places in the world. And so often you'll watch these shows and you'll see the elephants are starving. Like the animals can be nearly dying because it's like there's no water left in the dry season. And then what happens is there's a lot of rains that fall nearby and the water starts flowing. And after a few weeks, the water just starts coming into these areas like this. And it fills up the entire, it's like a basin. It just fills up the entire place. And animals from all over the region, I don't know if they have a sixth sense or they smell the water, but they just start coming from all over. And when they find this Okavango Delta, it's like paradise. Because with where water goes, it brings life. And this is the same as our church meetings, it's the same as our community meetings. We need to make space for the Spirit of God to come.